This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible. The prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord. Blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come. Exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. Dr. K. Daniel Freed, and I'm so glad that you've joined us for this hour, the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. And we got quite a lineup here this hour, and we got a special preacher, close friend to our ministry, evangelist Gil Massengill, that loves the Jew, hallelujah. And he has a message for us that you all want to listen to. After that, we'll have a small break, and then we'll get right into news and analysis. And if we have any time, we'll get in news analysis. But I want you to listen with attentive ears, obedient hearts, to the Word of God as it's being preached by the man of God.
But he died about 3 years ago. I buried him up in Cleveland, Tennessee. But I remember he sat with me a many time and talked about his brother in New Hampshire. Talked about his brother in New Hampshire, said he wanted his brother to be saved. I never will forget that as I began to preach his funeral, I looked down, his brother was sitting right in front of me, and I just began to weep. I said, I want to tell you what Brother Norman told me. And of course I told him about Yeshua, about the Lord Christ. And listen, that's the only way that they're going to be saved, is that they hear it from a babbling Gentile. They got to tell them about, because of their fall, salvation came to us. We're wild branches. We're grafted in. They're the natural branch. We're the wild one. I'll tell you, I'm glad, thank God, that I was grafted in. I'm glad that I'm in. Not half in, I'm glad that I'm all the way in, glad I'm saved. Thank God for salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'll tell you, I don't believe we ought to ever get over what happened to us. Thank God I'm going on 63 years old and I haven't got over what God did. Hey, I might not have that energy of a 33-year-old, but I'll tell you, this 63-year-old is going to get every ounce out of it. I want you to turn over in your Bibles, if you would, please, to Amos. Would you turn there, please, to the book of Amos? Chapter number 6, Amos chapter number 6. Again, I appreciate the privilege of being in this great conference. I appreciate what God's doing through his people. And I was amazed myself when I went over and saw all the people that Brother Daniel's got lined up.
Hallelujah.
And the mission is growing, and we appreciate him. I'll tell you, I love Daniel Freed. I love that man. I sure do. I'll tell you, I found out running with Brother Norm Seidman over in Brazil for the 6 years that we were there, I found out you can't go wrong if you run with a Jew. Somebody asked me one day, was I a Jew? I said, yes, sir, I'm a completed one. I'm circumcised in the heart. I am a completed Jew. All right, I want you to look at Amos, if you would, please, just for a few moments. We'll not be long preaching, but please pray for my mama. Will you do that? They took her to the Baptist Hospital in Knoxville, Tennessee today, and my mama's got all kinds of problems, and the way she's talking, I know that it's not going to be too much longer, and I've witnessed to my mother, but I just don't really know. So you pray. Will you do that? God's will be done. Look at Amos chapter number 6. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, and trust the mountains of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations, to whom the house of Israel came. Pass you into Calneh and see, and from thence go you to Hamath the great. Then go down to Gath the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms? Or their border greater than your border?
Oh my.
He was writing to Israel here. I'm not through reading yet. Just want to make a comment.
Yes.
He was writing to Israel. He said, who do you think you are? He said, you're sitting here at ease in Zion. He said, who do you think you are? He said, go down to Calneh.
Yeah.
And check with them.
That's right,
he said, go down to Hamath, the great, and check with them. And he said, hey, their kingdoms, your kingdom not any better than their kingdom. Well, you'll get that day after tomorrow. Look at verse number 3. Ye that put far away the evil day, and cause the seat of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory, and stretch themselves upon the couches, and eat the lambs out of the flock, and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of a viol, and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls, and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but that they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his infallible, inerrant, God-breathed word. Beloved, I want you to think with me just a little while. I preached for Brother Johnny Bone yesterday morning, and I said as I was preaching there, I heard of a man last week. I was over in another part of North Carolina in a meeting, in a mission conference, supposedly. And I heard a man belittle the twin towers that were took down in Manhattan. Matter of fact, he made the statement, why is everybody getting shook up over two little buildings that fell? Well, may I pass it on to you to say, because of the fall of these two towers, a lot of people lost their lives. A lot of people lost their jobs. Just country was set into recession because of what happened there. And God's still in control. I understand that. But if I look over this again, begin to read this again, I'm coming to find out that at least the churches that I'm going into, I find that people are setting at ease in Zion. They're comfortable. I was glad when I came in this morning, and Brother Johnny Bone and I came in this morning. I'm glad that I came into a cold building. It made me appreciate when I went to eat. Come on, we've got our cushion seats. We've got our good PA system. We've got our know-how conferences. Oh, we've got our little things that we keep coming up with. But the whole prophecy of this thing is that we're setting at ease in Zion. Hey, there wouldn't be a need of us reaching the ethnic group. If we wouldn't be at ease.
I believe that's right. Come on now.
Brother John is here. He is trying to reach his people. And the Indians trying to reach the Indians.
Yes, sir.
But children, listen, the sad part about all this is that we're setting at ease in Zion. Now, watch Amos here for just a moment. First of all, the unexperienced condition that they've never experienced this before. They've never been to that place before. Hey, can I say, can I say something to you? They didn't get there overnight. That didn't just happen. It just happened upon them that they were in this kind of condition. That didn't happen overnight. Hey, when you start out in sin, it don't ever happen just immediately. You just kind of flow into it. You just get comfortable and it doesn't bother you anymore. It used to bother you, but it don't bother you anymore. And number two, they were unheeding to the special message that God was trying to get across to them. You know what the message was? We heard it just a few moments ago. Repentance. I'm glad on the 25th day of May, 1969, on the third row back, University of Baptist Family, Georgia, under the preaching of C.M. Cordell, I was 29 years old. And I'll tell you, on that Sunday morning, brother, I experienced the grace of God, of the convicting power of the Spirit of God. I didn't get, I didn't get up and say, I think I'll stroll down the aisle, and I think I'll pray me a little prayer. Hallelujah to God. I was under the Holy Ghost conviction, and on that Sunday morning, thank God, I was drawn by the Holy Ghost. Honey, I was drawn by the Holy Ghost on that morning. Thank God, I'm glad that there is still a convicting power of the Holy Ghost. And thank God, you'll know it when it comes. They didn't want to hear that story of repentance. God, let me alone. I'm just cutting it ease right now. I don't want to hear nothing about repentance. Number three, they were unconcerned about walking in the power of the truth. I had a sweet fellow to come up to me the other day and said, Brother Massengill said, do you believe that Benny Hinn's real? I said, if he was, I'm going to hawk my house. That's about the only thing I got paid for. I'm going to hawk my house. I'm going down to get him. And I'm going to take him over yonder to that hospital in North Carolina. And then I'm going to place him all across this country. Let him know and raise all of them up. Let him grow some limbs on some people. Okay, come. Listen, he's there for that almighty dollar, that's all he's there for. But beloved, listen to me. What am I saying? Hey, they don't want to walk in the power of the truth. They don't want the truth. By the way, thank God, that's the only thing that's going to make you free, the truth of the Word of God. Hallelujah to God. You can't do anything unless the truth gets a hold of you. Thank God, I'm glad I got the truth when I got saved. I'm glad that the Jehovah's Witnesses didn't get a hold of me first. Woo! They were unconcerned about walking in the power of the truth. Brother, and the truth is the only thing it will make you, thank God, make you free. May I say number four, that they weren't able to see by faith their past victory. If you got victory in any way, it's been through the Lord Jesus. In Him only. Come on. Thank God, I'll tell you, from the day that I got saved, I'll tell you when it was, on the 25th day of May, 1969, 4 minutes after 12 o'clock, University of Baptist Church, third row back, under the preaching of C.M. Cordell. I was 29 years old. Thank God, I'm going on 63. But I'll tell you, on that Sunday morning, thank God, I got made free on that Sunday morning.
And from that day, you listen to me, from that day there's been a many of victory. But thank God that victory came through the Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory. To Him be the honor. To Him be the praise. I thank God He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. Thank God He ought to take about 30 minutes up and still to fail. Amen. Here I'll say number five quickly. They were, watch this, they were unwilling to see the lateness of the hour. Look at verse number six.
Amen. That's
but they were not grieved with the affliction of Joseph.
Yeah.
Brother, they were unwilling to see the lateness of the hour. Did you know time's late?
Yeah.
Did you know time's running out? Come on, honest before God. I don't want to come to a conference like this and sit and then walk out and do nothing about it. Glory to God, I want to grab me a jar and take it with me. I want to fill that jar up with money, whatever He wants in it, amen. Hey, listen, beloved, what am I trying to say? I don't want to come to a place like this and walk out and do nothing about what God's talked to my heart about in the Word of God. I want to realize the lateness of this hour, and then I want to get up and do something about it for the glory of God. As long as I've got being, I want to do something about what God said to do. When God said to the Jew first, I want to go to the Jew first, amen. Let me say, number one, that we are at ease concerning what we have in Christ. We've gotten used to it. We've gotten used to being saved. Can't you preach anything but that? Hey, come up here and let me slap your jaws a little bit. Brother, I'll tell you, when you get any deeper than wanting to know that you're saved by the grace of God and how that God brought you out of hell, honey, there's something wrong with you spiritually. Thank God, you just need to get right with God. I took off and went to Israel last year. I stayed there for a month in November. We stopped over in Amsterdam, Holland. And I like to have a good time.
Oh, yeah.
I like to joke. I like to cut up. There ain't serious times, but I do. I like, and especially in preaching, I enjoy preaching. And so we go through this little machine that goes off if you got anything metal. Well, I've got this born-again belt buckle. I found it some 20-some-odd years ago in a church parking lot, and I've had it ever since. Well, here in America, you can hold your hand over that thing, walk right through, and it don't go off. But I was in another country. So I walk through this thing, it goes off. So the lady over there, standing over there, she said, sir, said, would you come back around here and empty your pockets, go back through there again? Well, I emptied my pockets, I went back through there, and I put my hand back over my buckle and held it real tight. I said, it won't go off this time. I went back through and it went off. She said, sir, said, would you come back around through here and take off your belt and everything else you got metal and put it in this box here and go back through this thing again. And so I looked right. I was in a joking mood that day. She wasn't. I said, ma'am, I said, if I take off my belt, I said, my britches is going to fall down. I wish she'd have laughed like that, but she didn't. She said, first, and I said, take off your belt. And all other men you have, put it in this box and go back to it. I said, ma'am, and I thought this time she's really agreeing with me. And I said, ma'am, I said, I've already told you, if I take off my belt, my britches is going to fall down right here in front of God and everybody. And it was a less laugh than that the second time. She said, you right over there. I said, come over here, take this man in the back and said, strip him naked. Take him all the way down, all every piece of clothes he's got on. I want to find out what he's trying to hide. So I went back into the little room with this fella, and we got to talking there for a little while, and I come to find out that he was a Jew. So here I am in Amsterdam, Holland, in a little room all by myself, and he's going to strip off me, and he's going to strip me naked to find out what's wrong with me. So I took off one boot, We'll talk to him for a while. And I finally, about 15 minutes later, I got around the other booth. I took it off, and I talked to him for a little while. Then I took one sock off, and I talked to him for a little while. Then they took him all the way down to the fourth sock to find out for me to tell him about Yeshua. I told him about the Messiah, how that he came, and he bled, and he died. Hey, listen to me. And mother, before he could get my breeches off, he had already accepted the Lord Jesus as his personal Savior. Hey, I don't know what God's done to you. If he wants me to say that my breeches are falling off, I could get a Jew out of hell. That's what I'm going to do, amen. I thank God we ought to be that way before the Lord Jesus. I never will forget when I went to Brazil the first time. And I was there for 3 months, and I was not able to preach. Can you imagine me being passing up somewhere for 3 months and not being able to preach? And Brother Tom, it was there as I was working with, he said, Brother Massimil, he said, would you like to go with me Monday to a businessman's luncheon? Well, you know, I don't care nothing about businessman's luncheon. I just wanted somewhere to preach. And I kept praying. I said, Tom, I said, I'll go with you. I started praying. I said, God, I said, would you let me give my testimony in English? I got so tired of Portuguese that I started calling it pork and cheese. I said, I hate, and I can't stand pork now or cheese either. Hey, and I said, I hate pork and I don't want to speak it no more. I want to speak English. I want to give somebody my testimony in English. I'm tired of pork and cheese. I want to speak in English. I want to talk in English. On Monday morning, we got up and went to the businessman's luncheon. He guided me, and he said, Brother Massimil, he said, you go down there and sit down between this white fella and this little short dark fella. Well, I knew that the little short dark fella was Brazilian. I knew that. But I wasn't sure about the tall white one that sat on the other side of me. So I go over there and sit down, and I'm in deep meditation, man. I want to tell somebody about Jesus, but I want to tell it in English and not in pork and cheese. I was filling my fingers, I was praying. I said, oh God, I think you could surely open up a heart and let me speak in English today. And all of a sudden, while I was meditating and praying, this white fellow looked over at me, this tall white fellow did, in an English accent, and he said, huh? He said, could you possibly tell me how you come to know the Messiah as your personal Savior? Oh, hey! That's just like throwing a bone to a hungry dog, amen. I thank God I lit it on that fella. Listen, and every time he tried to turn his head, I doubted him again. I told him how that I got out of hell, how that I met the Messiah, my personal Savior. Such a chance. Buddy, when I got up, I was so relaxed. I went over to Tom, and I said, Tom, I said, I had the best time. He said, Brother, I said, wait a minute. He said, do you know who that was sitting next to you? I looked at him and I said, Tom, I don't care if it's Queen Sheba's husband. I said, man, he asked me how I got out of hell, and I told him how I got out of hell. He said, Brother Maxfield said, he's a millionaire. Well, that didn't hurt me up a bit. 1,900 there don't make a living. You're just still going to have to repent. Except Christ, you're going to go to heaven. But then the second thing he told me, that for me. He said, and that's a you. And all of a sudden, it came to my heart because I remember him saying, how did you come to know the Messiah? He didn't say Jesus. He said Messiah. Buddy, I'll tell you, I went home. I got to praying. God, I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. 2 weeks later, I got a phone call. Guess who it was? He said, this is Mr. Hahn. Said, would there be a possibility of me coming to your house down Washington, Lewis Avenue? Would there be a possibility of me coming to you and you telling me just a little bit more about that Messiah that you told me about at that business interlusted? Hey! Hey! Glory to God! Honey, have you ever prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed that you knew that God was going to save him? Amen. God, I dropped that phone and I ran all over that house. I said, honey, he's coming. She thought I was talking about Christ. I said, honey, he's coming. I said, he's coming here. He wants to hear it again. He wants to hear it again. About 45 minutes later, he drove up in front of our house on Washington Avenue in a white Alfa Romeo. He got out of the car all dressed up neat like Brother Freed does all the time. Then he got out of the car and he woke up. Then I let him in and he sat down. And I don't do that anymore. I used to. And Brother Wayne then told me God would forgive me since I was ignorant. And I closed my eyes and I opened the Bible. And guess what it fell on? Isaiah 10:53. Brother, I started at the top of that, at number one, and I went all the way through that with him. It took me about 2.5 hours for me to tell him about that. Well, when I got through, he just got up. Didn't say a word, just got up, got his hat, and he said, Mr. Masterville, I've got to go. He started to the door, and just he got to the door, I said, Mr. Hunt, I said, wait just a minute. I said, is it all right if I pray before you go? And he took his hat off and put it over his heart and stood there. And I bowed my head. But nothing would come out. And I started crying. And I wept because I couldn't talk, and I just kept weeping. And I wept, and I wept, and cried. I don't know how long I stood there, maybe 15 minutes, but I finally just said amen. When I did, he turned around quickly. He ran out on the front porch, and I chased him out on the front porch. I said, will you come to church tomorrow? Will you come to Temple Baptist Church tomorrow on Saturday? I said, will you come tomorrow? Will you come tomorrow? And he didn't say a thing. He said, hey, he hollered. I heard him as he got in the car. I said, I'll try. And I watched him as he pulled out. He got in the car, and he spun around the middle of the road. And he went down, and I seen him pull in a Shell filling station right below my apartment there, and he pulled it, and I saw his lights go out. Well, when he did, I walked back in the house. I said, honey, you go on to bed. I said, I'm going to pray all night. I said, I'm not going to sleep. I'm going to pray all night. I said, I've done give that Jew enough of the word of God to save all of Israel. I said, I want that Jew saved is what I want. And I stayed up all night. Next morning, the sun arose, and I got in the car. I went to Bonehead Pier. I picked up 25 other Jews, and I brought them to Temple Baptist Church that morning. When I got there, I looked down the aisle, and about 3/4 of the way down stood that old tall Jew. Why, God, you know what I did? I got the clawing like a bull, and I said, I'm going to get him. He's the house of God. And I started, and the Holy Ghost, hey, wait a minute. So let him hear the word of God again. Yeah, right. Yeah. Dr. Silas Oliveira got up that morning. Guess where he preached from? Isaiah 53. Boy, I'm talking about with the anointing of God all over him. He preached that message that morning. When he got through and he gave an invitation, the Holy Ghost said, you're at liberty. But I took off, I run it, and I grabbed that Jew by the arm. And I said, Mr. Hunt, I said, let's go to the altar. Let's get this thing settled. And I felt something wet hit the back of my hand. And I thought he spit on me. And I looked up. When I looked up, that old Jew hears a cry. Tears are coming out of both his eyes and running down on his chin. And there's a dropping on the back of my hand. You know what I thought, man, of what Holy Ghost conviction, brother? He's going to get saved right now. I'm going to get him. I'm going to drag him to that altar, buddy. He's going to get saved. I said, Mr. Hahn, I said, let's go forward. Let's get this thing settled forever. He looked down at me and he said, brother, I'm asking you. Hey, you ain't ever called me brother before. He called me mister, but never called me brother. He said, brother, nothing to you. Here's his story. I'm not adding anything, taking anything away. Here's his story. He said, I'm 39 years old. He said, I was raised by Jewish parents. He said, my mother and my daddy and my granddaddy and my grandmother taught me to never show my emotions. Now, children, I'm sorry, but I'm emotional. But he said, they taught me never to show my emotions. He said, I've never cried in my life until right now. He said, and furthermore, he said, I've never seen a grown man cry. So I seen you cry last night. He said, by the way, he said, can I tell you something? He said, when I left your apartment last night, he said, I pulled in a jail filling station. I blew you up. I said, I know, I've seen you. I've been watching you. He said, when I pulled in that jail filling station, He said, I bowed my head over that Alphanel steering wheel. He said, that same one that made that little preacher cry up yonder. He said, that same one he's been telling me about, that Messiah. He said, I want him to come into my heart and to be my Savior. I'll pray God, and I'll tell you, honey, listen, I had me a spell, amen. Thank God, I've said everybody in the church, I made me about four rounds around that church. I'll thank God, listen. That Jew got with me after that thing was over. Listen, and he traveled with me all over Brazil. We held conference after conference after conference, and he could speak seven languages, and brother, he interpreted for me of the Jew and the Gentile together. Oh, thank God, I'm telling you, beloved, I'm talking about this thing of salvation. Where it is thine concerning this thing of salvation. Brother, we've gotten used to it. I'm talking about the Jew. I guess the most question I've asked me, how do you witness to a Jew? Witness to him, like Brother Wayne said. Get a burden in your heart. Then you won't mind if it spit on you. Me and my wife went to Hickory to the Army Navy store. We walked in there one Monday morning.
You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127, USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world, and we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that. But if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye.
God of Israel.
This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. What the free world doesn't know about terrorism. This is not a politically correct article. Well, that's true, but it's right, though. It's truth. The fact of the matter is that the focus on Israel has to be spiritual, prophetic. Nevertheless, we know that some things need to be said. President George Bush has clearly stated that America's war on terror is not a war against Islam. French Prime Minister Lionel Jospin is even gentler. He quotes, "We are not at war against Islam or the Arab Muslim world. In fact," he said, "we are not at war. The leaders of Great Britain and Germany are adamant that this conflict not be seen as the West against Islam. The democratic free world abhors war, for the most part, and intensely dislikes being seen as intolerant of other world religions." This is where the problem lies. True, we are not at war with the world's Arab citizens, who are among the most warm and hospitable of peoples. However, a powerful force known as radical Islam has declared war on us, whether we acknowledge it or not. Not all Muslims are at war with us. Many are peace-loving peoples who have no axe to grind with the non-Muslim world. These moderate Muslims claim that Islam is against jihad, holy war. And it appears they generally believe that. But the fact is, there are fundamental elements in the Muslim religion that cause adherents in every major branch of Islam to be potentially deadly enemies of the Western democratic nations. Here is the awful truth. Radical Islam is absolutely, utterly, and totally at war with the world's Western democratic nations. The basic tenets of the Quran and canonized interpretations of its holy sages have given rise to the horrors now terrorizing the Western world. The God of Islamic holy book, the Quran, calls for jihad against the infidels, non-Muslims, until Islam reigns supreme throughout the world. As impossible as it is to comprehend, radical Islam's express goal is to destroy the democratic free world physically and or financially, and to replace her with a fundamentalist Islamic world order. The mentality out there, true believers must fight for Allah. Though moderate Muslims may quote seemingly peace-loving verses in the Quran, there are clearly other Islamic scriptures that have given license to any action that leads to the ultimate defeat of the infidels, who are particularly identified as Christians and Jews. Among them are those found in Surah chapter 4, verse 34 and verse 76. Quote, it says, "Let those who would exchange the life of this world for the hereafter fight for the cause of Allah, whether they die or conquer. We shall richly reward them." The true believers fight for the cause of Allah, but the infidels fight for their idols. Fight then against the friends of Satan. Now, sadly, Islamic preachers and scholars using these verses from the Quran are avidly encouraging suicide atrocities against the West, especially Christians and Jews are the infidels. And a few days before the terrorist attack in the U.S., the Jerusalem Mufti, Islamic religious ruler, preached, quote, "The White House will turn back. With God's help in America, England and Israel should be destroyed," unquote. We must face the facts. The great majority of terrorist organizations in the entire world are devout fundamentalist Muslim. Other millions of Muslims sympathize with the goals and the methods of these killers. For example, 80% of Palestinians are in favor of suicide terrorist attacks in Israel. Tommy Lapid, member of the Israeli Knesset and head of the Shinui Party, himself a Holocaust survivor, and profess atheist says that the radical Islamic's target is the Judo-Christian civilization that doesn't accept the Quran. To these Muslim radicals, said Lapid, quote, the U.S. and Israel are the large and the small devils, but Western and even Eastern Europe aren't much better. They must be destroyed in a world embracing jihad in the name of Allah and his prophet Muhammad, unquote. Charles Grafana, the conservative Washington Post columnist, said it like it really is. Quote, he said, the enemy has identified itself in public and openly. Our delicate sensibilities have prevented us from pronouncing its name. Its name is Radical Islam, not Islam as practiced peacefully by millions of the faithful around the world, but a specific fringe political movement dedicated to imposing its fanatical ideology on its own societies and destroying the society of its enemies, the greatest of which is the United States, unquote. With foresight that perhaps only a war-weary Israeli could have, former Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu wrote in his book Fighting Terrorism in 1995, extremist Islamic terrorist organizations nullify in large measure the need to have air power or intercontinental missiles as delivery systems for an Islamic nuclear payload. The terrorists themselves will be the delivery system. In the worst of such scenarios, the consequences could be not a car bomb, but a nuclear bomb in the basement of the World Trade Center. What this new terrorism portends for America and the world, and what can be done about it, has not yet been sufficiently understood. The growth of terrorism is now capable of bringing down entire buildings. The very real possibility that terrorist states and organizations may soon acquire horrific weapons of mass destruction and use them to escalate terrorism beyond our wildest nightmares has not yet been addressed properly by Western governments. Not You goes on to say that with Iran and Iraq wielding atomic weapons, the world is on the verge of an abyss that most political leaders have not properly gauged its depth. Tommy Lapid cautions, as cruel and horrifying as were the death and destruction in Washington, New York, they were only a warning. He says, this warning said, we, the terrorists, are sufficiently determined to execute the most daring missions. We are rich enough to finance missions costing a lot of money. We are sufficiently dedicated to our sacred ideal to commit suicide in its cause. We are sufficiently sophisticated to overcome all the police forces and intelligence organizations of the Western world. And we hate you so much that we will not hesitate to destroy your cities and wipe out millions of infidels like you if the opportunity arises. Quote, unquote. How about that? Do you really know who the enemy is? Do you realize what is happening? Do you realize that these radical Islamic jihad fanatics, I think we're saying that what's being said, that many Muslims are peace-loving. Well, they're peace-loving for a time. But I'll tell you one thing, when the going gets rough, and the influences are great, they will ultimately follow the Quran. That's exactly right. They are susceptible to follow the same pathway that many of the suicide bombers have. Many of them who were suicide became suicide bombers. In the beginning were no doubt peace-loving Muslims, but given a cause, given a reason, given a message, led by the leaders of major Arab governments. I mean, did you hear about how many tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, yea, millions had marched? I'm saying they have marched in the streets of Beirut, have marched in the street of Damascus, have marched in many of these Arab countries. So Are they peace-loving? Well, it sure doesn't appear that way to me. Suicide martyrs await their heavenly reward. A second component in Islam's holy literature has created a particular deadly cocktail of the 21st century. Islam teaches that heaven is a place of great erotic delights. On 60 Minutes, Bob Simon interviewed Muhammad Abu Wadi, who told Simon God would compensate the martyr, that is suicide bombers and the like, for sacrificing his life for his land. If you become a martyr, God will give you 70 virgins, 70 wives, and everlasting happiness. Well, what do you think about that? We know that's a flat-out lie. That's nothing like that's going to happen when these poor suicide bombers kill themselves and innocent lives. What's going to happen to them is they're going to burn in everlasting hell for eternity. Although Arab Americans say that there is nothing in Islamic teachings about virgins or sex in paradise, Sheikh Abdul Hadi Palazzi, head of the Cultural Institute of the Italian Islamic Community and a true Islamic scholar, lists a number of prominent Islamic references about the delights of sex with heavenly virgins. They can be reviewed at the Jerusalem Post website by Naomi Ragin. Through this teaching, says Ragin, these Arab teenagers are being convinced that the way to sex in the puritanical Arab world, whose fathers routinely murder daughters who are even suspected of losing their virginity, is through hate-filled mass murders. USA Today ran a story on June 26 about young suicide bombers. They sent a reporter to Gaza in the West Bank to interview families of past and would-be suiciders. Quote, "I am very happy and proud of what my son did, and frankly, I am a bit jealous," said Hassan Hotori, 54, father of Saeed, the young man who carried out the attack outside a disco in Tel Aviv. It was Israel's worst suicide bombing in nearly 4 years. He said, "I wish I'd done the bombing. My son had fulfilled the Prophet Muhammad's wishes. He has become a hero. Tell me, what more could a father ask?" Is that how they're raising their children? Is that something that is of God? You know better than that. You know better than that. USA Today continue to say they, suicide bombers, also promise something more. Unlimited relations with 72 virgins in heaven. The Quran, the sacred book of Islam, describes the women as beautiful like rubies, with complexions like diamonds and pearls. In one of the passages of the Quran, it is said the martyrs and virgins shall delight themselves lying on green cushions and beautiful carpets. For some young Muslims, that offer it is too much to turn down, reports USA Today. "I have something awaiting me that makes all my suffering worthwhile," says Bassam Khalifti, 16, a Hamas youth leader in Gaza refugee camp. "Most boys can't stop thinking about the virgins," he said. Quoted saying further, he said, "My prayer is that Saeed's brothers, friends, and fellow Palestinians will sacrifice their lives too." Hartari's father says, "There is no better way to show God you love him." This critique, grotesque counterfeit description of heaven, gives the Islamic terrorist leaders hundreds, if not thousands, of ready candidates to kill themselves as they murder the enemies of Allah and of the Islamic world objectives. What the free world doesn't know about terrorism, as reported in Maaz Israel and quoted from many of the news media outlets. We are thankful for many of the resources of our news, courtesy of Zion News International.
Keep his covenant and show his mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like heaven. There is no God like thee in the earth, O Lord God of Israel.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your hearts of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by His own blood, and call upon Him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to His Word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by freewill offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your freewill donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or P-O-W-D-E-R-S-P-R-I-N-G-S, Georgia, or G-A, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. My earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.